When I get up here, they all leave. Just the way it is, I guess. I hope you're having a good day today. You've had a good week. The Lord has blessed you in many ways that we recognize and many ways that we don't even recognize. How wonderful it is that we have a God that loves us so, so very much and cares for us in such a great way and wants to benefit us and help us. I don't think we really realize that as much as we should. The invitation is very simple that we have today. Did I turn this off or did I turn this on? Okay. Whatever it's doing, it's doing. But we're glad to have... Let me make sure I got a battery, okay? Y'all just don't go anywhere. Okay. We have an invitation today. I don't know about you, but I get invitations from time to time. I had somebody that called the other day, said I had won a free trip to anywhere in the United States, and I'm the only one they called. You believe that? No. And I just kind of, you know, hit the button and let it go. And then the other day I got a letter. We have won three nights. I forgot where it was. I answered that invitation. I just dropped it in the garbage can. We all get invitations to different things, and sometimes we can go, sometimes we can't go. But invitations are very important. We have a choice to either accept the invitation or turn the invitation down. Now, the passage that we read this morning was one of an invitation that Jesus offers. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He talks about a yoke there. A yoke was that thing that went around an oxen's neck, the thing of wood that kind of caused it to be able to pull. And he said, the one I have is fit just for you. It's comfortable. When fellows would farm, they wanted their equipment to fit their animals because it helped the animal to be able to do its job if it was right. If it was wrong, it made it really hard on the animal. Jesus is saying, using an illustration that these people could understand, that here is an oxen and the load that he's got to bear is made easier if he has a yoke about him that fits him. And Jesus wants us to understand that he's going to help us. That's a whole idea today. And Jesus is trying to help us. He has extended us an invitation that we should come to him, and it's such a simple invitation. It's simple, but we make it so complex. Please don't make it complex. Let it be simple. Jesus says to you that he wants you to come to him, and he has invited you to come. Now, in giving an invitation, you either accept or reject. I've already mentioned that. But I want us to realize an invitation is offered by Jesus Christ at all time. It's offered so that we can have a place to go. Now, look at this. You get an invitation. You are invited. Do you want to go? You got to make a choice. This is the same thing with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ will not force you to follow him. He will not force you to come and do his will. And we have to understand that. And we say, we know all that. You know, you're going over that and we already know it. But I want to emphasize it to you. That he is inviting you to come at any time, at any place, under any circumstances, to come to him. Sometimes if you receive an invitation, you know, if I go to that invitation, I got to wear a suit and a tie. I really don't want to wear that. I really don't want to go. Or we've got to, you know, you get this invitation to go to a shower and the ladies have to go buy a gift. I've told Linda, just wrap something up and give it to them. They'll never know it. She said, you can't do that. You can't do that. I said, yeah, you can. They'll never know the difference. Until you give them something that they gave you, and then it really gets touchy. Maybe you've done that before too. But some invitations, there are requirements to be able to meet those invitations. Jesus says, there's no requirements. You come to me. And I will help you. I will give you everything you need. I will benefit you. All you must do is just come. Now, please understand, if when we talk about that, we're not saying that we can just do any way we want to and live any way we want to, because if we come to Jesus Christ, we've got to come and we've got to comply with the invitation that's there. And so here this invitation is for us. It's one that we can accept or reject. The invitation is always open. It's always there. And it never will close. You need to understand that. We offer an invitation at the end of the sermon. We offer an invitation every time we meet. You know, if I were to stand up today and say, we're not going to have an invitation, y'all would go, we're getting another preacher. We're going to have an invitation. Whether the preacher says it or not, there is an invitation. There is an invitation to come. We want people to have the opportunity to come to Jesus Christ and receive the blessings that are there for Him, to come and receive the blessings that God has there for us. We can accept it. We can reject it. Many times people just reject it, and they reject it too long. And sometimes the invitation is taken up. They don't invite you anymore because you haven't come and you're not going to come. We've got to understand that. Jesus said to the people, come unto me. Now, who all does He want to come? Understand this. Look at this. Jesus invites everybody. Whosoever will, let him come. He says, I don't care who you are. I've already mentioned He doesn't care who we are. He doesn't care what circumstances we're in. And sometimes I've had people say, oh, I'm going to come back to church when I get my life straightened out. Let me tell you something. You're not coming. You're not going to do it. Because we never get our life straightened out. There's always something that gets in the way. There's always something that's a problem there. There's always something that we can come up with the difficulty. And I'm surprised sometimes at the ingenuity of people saying why they can't come to church. Well, my car is just not running well enough to go to church. But it's well enough to go every place else. I can't do this. I can't come because of this. The invitation to Jesus Christ is to come. He wants us to come. Don't worry about getting your life straightened out, because the rest of us don't have our life straightened out either. We're trying. That's all we're doing. Nobody in here is perfect. Nobody. We're all struggling against sin. That's what we're doing. But Jesus invites us to come and says, I want you to come to me because I have something for you. In Romans 3 and verse 23, it tells there about the burden of sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's every one of us. So yours are no different than mine. It's the same thing. Now, listen to the Hebrew writer. In Hebrews 12, he's just talked in Hebrews 11 about the people of faith. And he's talked about all those characters there. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all of them. And how faithful they were. Now, look at 12 and verse 1. Hebrews 12 and verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and every sin that hinders us. He said, look at these people over here. Now, we in religion today call them saints. And that means that they don't touch the ground. They're higher, greater than we are. They were saints only in that they were people who belonged to God. They weren't perfect people. They weren't people that did not make their mistakes. In fact, if you read Hebrews 11, that's one thing. And you go back and read their life, some of them failed on many occasions. But they endured and they stayed in there. That's what we got to do. We've got to stay following God. We've got to keep going on that invitation with God, that God has everything for us. And He wants us to know that. Look at verse 2. He starts talking about looking unto Jesus. That's where our comfort comes from. That's where our peace is from. That's where our invitation comes from. Unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our soul, of our faith. He's the one that offered it. He's the one that created it. He's the one that gives it to us. And He's the one that helps us to be able to complete it. The Bible talks about Him being Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the beginning. He is the end. He is the one that's there for us to help us, to lift us up. To lift us up anytime we've fallen, He's there to help us in every way so that we can go on. Who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross. Now, understand what He's talking about here. The Hebrew writer is saying Jesus went to the cross and He died there on the cross for us, and He saw not just the suffering and the pain. Usually we look at the suffering and the pain and the price of things. What Jesus looked at is what we were going to get. And He said He endured those things so that we could have the joy, and it made Him happy even though He had to endure the pain and the suffering. Even though He had to go through those things, it was there. It was the joy because these people are following. These people are hearing the invitation, and they're coming to God. They're coming to God, and they're there with God. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Who for the joy that was set before Him, it was happiness that was there. Happiness for us that was there. Despising the shame, and He sat down at the right hand of God. He was there with God. And you see, what He wants us to be able to do is to sit there too. To be on the right hand of God. Now that doesn't mean that He's got a bunch of chairs over here and we're going to be on the right side. It means that we're going to be there with God and we're going to share with Him. It's hard for us to comprehend the idea of an eternal God. It's hard for us to comprehend the idea of God. It's where we're going to have a very personal relationship with God there in heaven. And it's going to be great. It starts here on this earth. But it's completed there in heaven. And that's what the Hebrew writer is trying to say to us. He wants us to know that there is a lifting of the burden, a lifting of the load that's there, an invitation that's given. And He shows us what we're going to get when we follow that invitation, when you comply with that invitation. He tells us what we're going to get. And it's not these invitations where they're very weak, but it's a strong invitation to come to Him and to be a part of Him. Are we willing to take that invitation? Are we willing to comply with that? He wants us to understand also that the load of sin is going to be removed. In John 14 and verse 15, Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Now please understand what He's saying there. He's saying not that you've got these rules and regulations you've got to follow, but He said, you've got to be willing to love and care for me just as much as I love and care for you. And He said, I'll make your load a lot easier. That's what our text said. He said He's going to take this yoke that we've got about us, and it's going to be an easy yoke. It's not going to be a hard yoke. He's not going to load us down with more than we can take. In 1 Corinthians 10, those people there thought that they were suffering in their sins above every other people. He said, no temptation is taking you but such as is common to man. Some people think, oh, my sins are greater than others. No, they're not. Your sins are just like everybody else's. And there's no big sin, little sin. There's just sin. And we need to understand that. Now, please understand, there's consequences that are different for this life. But as far as God is concerned, there is no difference in sin. And He'll blot them all out. We think, I've had people to say, my sin is so great. And you want to say, no, it's not. Jesus died for sin. Whatever it is. And He wants to forgive it. He's offering the invitation, come unto me and I'll lift the load. I'll take that sin off of you. Have you felt the burden of sin on you? Have you felt the weight of sin? I hope you do. You say, oh, that's a terrible thing to offer. That's a terrible thing to say. No. Because recognizing the weight of sin means that we want to get out from under it. You ever had somebody to offer to help you? And maybe you were picking up something and you were trying to move it from place to place and somebody said, hey, let me help you. We want to do it ourselves, but we can't. But we say, okay, help me. And as they pick up one side and we pick up the other side, it makes the load so much easier. It makes the burden lighter. And that's what Jesus Christ is offering. See, we're struggling and fighting in this thing of sin. We're trying to overcome it, and we're not doing real well at it. You can try as hard as you want to not to sin, but we're going to do it. You say, oh, that's discouraging. No, that's realistic. But Jesus said, you know that sin that you're struggling with? You know that sin that you can't hardly pick up? That sin that David talked about said, it's a weariness to my bones. It crushes me. Job talked about it too and how terrible it was on him. But Jesus Christ said, I'll help you to lift that load. I'll help you to take it. And you can complete it. That's the invitation that he's offering for us. To lift the burden of sin. To lift the load of sin off of us. Listen to John 15 and verse 14. Next chapter. You are my friend. If you do what I command you, you are no longer called a servant. Now Paul used the idea of a servant many times within his word, trying to help us to see this idea of we're those that are supposed to be following Jesus Christ. And that's true. But in this passage, they're trying to help us to see how important it is to realize that we have a friend that's trying to help us. It's not just somebody that volunteered, but it's a friend that comes over. How wonderful it is to have a friend that can help you when you have a need. I had started a project at the house. I'd torn most of my deck down. Linda was thrilled about that because she knew what was going to happen. I let the wood age for several months before I did anything to it. You believe that? I can say a lot of other things too. And then I had some friends to come over. And they helped build, or they built. I kind of stood and watched. They built a deck. I told them, I said, if a tornado comes through, I'm grabbing this deck. It's not going anywhere. Now, I really appreciated that. They did what I could not do. It would have taken me months, maybe even years to do it. But they did that. They lifted a burden. And you know, now I can walk out there and I've got a deck I can stand on without trying to walk those floor joists. They helped. Jesus Christ is ready to help. He's ready to make our burden light. He's ready to make everything that we have and make it so easy so that we can go on. And we don't seem to realize that. We look at, well, I've got to still fight against sin. Yes, you do. But you've got someone on your side. You've got someone as a child of God that you can say, God, please, please forgive me. And He'll do it. No questions asked. You say, well, what? But you see, I may do it again. Okay. You know what you do? Ask Him again. And you know what He'll do? He'll help you again. He's always there. He'll never leave you. And if you call on Him, He'll always come and always do what He can to help you in saving the soul that you had. He gives an invitation of rest. We've already talked about that to a great extent. But I want us to see it a little bit closer. Are you tired this morning? Would you love just to lay down in that pew and take a nap? See, if you get quiet long enough, I will. Most people, you say, how you doing? I'm just so tired. And I know what you mean. That seemed to be a part of life nowadays. It may be because most of our work is done in our minds and we can't rest that part. You can rest the physical body, but you can't rest that. We need to recognize that we have a God who's offering us a rest, a peace. And that peace is so wonderful. Romans 6 verse 18, having been set free from sin, you became slaves to righteousness. We have that sin, and there's not a sin in here that anybody has committed today that Jesus Christ cannot forgive. We read a few weeks ago about several sins that were there, and Paul said, some of these were you, but you've been washed, you've been cleansed. You don't have to worry about those things anymore. Have enough faith in God to believe in Him and to trust in Him, that He will forgive you of sin, that He will blot out everything that you've done that's wrong. He will do that, and He's going to continue to do that. He will lift the burden from us. He'll help us to carry the load that we think we've got to carry by ourselves and that we can't carry. But He'll help us. That rest may not be on this earth. The Bible talks about, David said on one occasion, that he's never seen God's people begging bread. We need to think about that passage just a little bit. He's not saying that people that are Christians are not going to starve. But he's saying that bread may not be the physical bread. It may be a spiritual bread. You may not have what you need in this world. You may not have the food that you need. You may not have the clothes that you need. You may not have the rest that you need. You may not have any of those things on this earth. But let me tell you something. There is not anything that God will withhold from you. Now, in Hebrews, the 4th chapter, starting with verse 9, the Hebrew writer had just been talking about Joshua and what Joshua did in leading the children of Israel into the land of promise. And what the Hebrew writer is trying to do is say, look, I want you to understand that land of promise that they got there that flowed with milk and honey, it is not the end. There are people in religion today that think the land promise that God made to the children of Israel is so wonderful and so great. Let me tell you something. That's just an illustration of what God was trying to say. It's not the real thing. They received that land. Because of sin, they lost it. And God's saying, don't do that. Keep that land. Keep that land that is yours. Listen to what He says starting in verse 9. This shows Joshua and what they have done in receiving the land there. This shows that the rest for God's people is still coming. He's saying, don't think that just getting that land was the greatest thing. That's not it. But there is a promise of a better land, of a greater land than what you have right now. You see, we look at Christianity and we're looking at it to help me in this life. We're looking for everything. We're looking for heaven here. We're looking for everything here, and it may not be here. It may be in the life to come. You say, wait a minute, that's not what I want. But it's what you need. See, if you receive all you are supposed to receive in this life, what's left for the life to come? What's left for the life to come? Anyone, verse 10, who enters God's rest will rest from this work as God did. Referring back to the beginning of time when God created all those things and on the seventh day He rested. He said, you can have a rest like that. A rest of peace, a rest of safety. Let us try as hard as we can to enter God's rest so that no one will fail by following the example of those who refuse to obey. There were some people that it was time for them to go into the promised land and they could not believe God's people. They could not believe God's promise and they didn't want to go in. And they lost it. They turned the invitation to go into a land that flowed with milk and honey. A land that was so great and so wonderful. They turned that down. You say, why did they do that? But now let me ask you another question. Look at the invitation that Jesus Christ is offering you today. He's offering you an invitation that your sins will be forgiven. That you will be whiter than snow, like the song. That you will be cleansed of all your unrighteousness. That you will be forgiven of all your sins. That He'll love you. And that He'll protect you and watch over you. And He has a place reserved for you in heaven. That's His invitation today. How can we turn it down? How can we turn away from it? How can we not take that invitation and be willing to follow it? He said, here, don't be like that. Don't be like those people who turn away from it. Now, another passage I want us to see. In Revelation chapter 4, or 14, verses 11 through 13, he talks here about the people of sin. He talks about what they're going to get. Listen to this. The smoke from their burning pain will rise forever and ever. There will be no rest, day or night, for those who worship the beast and his idols or who get the mark of his name. There's a place where people, if they turn away the invitation, they won't have any rest. You say, well, I see some people in this world that they have a lot of stuff, they have a lot of things, and boy, they have it made. And they don't have to worry about money or anything else. See, we don't understand. That's not the thing. We don't comprehend. That's not what we're talking about. The rest that God offers is an eternal rest. And certainly we can have a portion of that here because we have faith that what God's going to do, He'll do. And we can understand every bit of that. God has that for us. But now listen to this. Verse 12. This means God's holy people must be patient. He's telling you and me, in all this world that we live in, and things are not going right with us, and I'm still in the midst of sin, and sin still got me, and I'm still doing that stuff, and I'm going to God and asking God to forgive me for it. He said, you've got to have a patience. You've got to have a patience about you. They must obey God's commands and keep their faith in Jesus Christ. We've got to have patience. This idea of faith is a trusting in Jesus Christ. And sometimes we believe just because He said it. We believe it. Then I heard a voice from heaven, verse 13, saying, write this. Here's God speaking. What does He want us to know? Blessed are the dead who die from now on in the Lord. Blessed are those people that they have to face death and they go through it. You see, we look at death as the worst thing in the world. You know why? Because we don't believe the Bible like it says. We need to trust in God. We need to depend upon Him. We need to depend upon what He has to say. The Spirit says, yes, they will rest from their hard work, their labors, and their reward of all they have done stays with them. You're not going to lose anything. All the sacrifices that you've gone through to be a child of God, all the things that you've endured to be God's child and to live righteous with God and to do what God's will is, it's going to be there. Now, think about this. The Bible talks about a farmer. He looks at all that he has, his land, everything that's his. And he says to his soul, take it easy. You got it made. God calls him a fool. Because all of his treasures are on this earth. You can have all the treasure you want. You can have all the money that you want in this whole world. It's not worth very much. In fact, I read a book one time that said the world and the works that are therein are not worth the next world. Not at all. How much did this farmer leave behind? Every bit of it. Nothing. And he had nothing there for God. And dare I say, God had nothing for him. Because he turned the invitation down. And he did not come. Now, I want us to see the end of this. Some think that obeying the Word of God is a burden, that it's a heavy thing, that it's something you've got to really decide you want to do because you're going to have to really go through a lot of suffering and a lot of pain and a lot of heartache. Let me tell you something. Your attitude makes the load a lot easier. You ever had a job you didn't want to do and it felt like, this is forever? But you ever had a job that you really liked? And somebody else would say, oh, that's a lot of work, but I like to do it. It makes it a lot easier. So what we've got to do is to change our attitude about this. And we've got to recognize that there is something here for us, and that God, even though the load we may look at is heavy, it is going to be made light by God. We need to be those people that consider the burden that we have. Job 30 and verse 17. At night my bones ache, groaning pain never stops. Job said that. But then Job realized that he needed to trust in God. We like the story, but do we like it because the burden is taken away and he's received all this stuff back? What if he didn't receive his children back? What if he had to stay in that illness that he had, in that sickness that he had? May get trouble in this part now. What if he had to stay with that woman he's living with that just said, curse God and die? And those friends that said, what sin have you committed? What wrong have you done? What iniquity are you in the middle of? Because God wouldn't punish a person like that. Psalms 38 and verse 3, my bones is sick from your punishment, talking to God. Even my bones are not healthy because of my sin. Do you feel the burden of sin? Do you feel the burden that sin has on you today? I hesitate to say, but I've got to say it. I hope you feel the burden of sin. Because then you realize, I need help to overcome this. I need God to help me. What we've got to do is to understand this. Jesus says, come to me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. You take the load that I have. You take the burden that I'm going to put on you. And it's not going to be heavy because I'm going to help you to carry it. He will forgive you of sin. He will bring you into His righteousness. He will give you the mercy that you don't deserve. He will give you the grace that you have no earthly idea how important it is. He'll do that for you. So the final question is, what's keeping you from serving God? What's keeping you from obeying the gospel? What's keeping you from confessing sins in your life as a child of God? What's keeping you from doing that? What's hindering you from doing that? The invitation is from Jesus, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will unload your burden. I will lift you up. I'll carry you. I'll love you. We sing this song. Please, if that load's on you, come right now and get it removed. Please stand as we sing.